Because actually, your next missionary that you send from your church may be an IT consultant and not a Bible teacher, because the world is changing.
Yeah.
And the way we reach the world is changing. So leaders who are not thinking about this stuff all the time, it's not that they're not doing their job. They're missing out, actually, on the joys of serving God's mission.
Welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name's Phil Topham, Executive Director of the FIEC, and it's not time for In the News, but I am in the host chair because I want to talk to our Head of National Ministries, Adrian Reynolds. Hello,
hey,
Adrian.
Hey, Phil. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm going to talk to you about the Leaders Conference, which is incoming. Now, before anybody tunes out, we're going to be thinking about how this serves all leaders in every type of ministry, why you should come along, and what we're hoping to do together. So do stay tuned.
So whatever kind of leader you are in a local church.
Absolutely. This podcast is for you. Well, let's start with the title of our Leaders Conference happening this November, Church Without Borders.
Can I just say 6 months and one day?
Wow, from the day of recording. No pressure, producer Joel, to get it out really quickly after he's dated it. But Church Without Borders, just tell us a bit about that title, first of all, Adrian. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, it's a conference about world mission and its place in the local church. So we're thinking globally, but also thinking locally. We're a fellowship of local churches. So we want to make sure that we are engaging with the issues that local church leaders are facing and helping them think through major areas of church life. Mm. And world mission is one of those. So this is a conference about world mission. Church Without Borders, though, because we're recognizing that we live in a changing world, that actually the world is not the same as it was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, maybe. We see that around us, whatever your church location is, almost without exception, wherever you are in the United Kingdom, whichever nation you're in, whichever home nation you're in, whether you are in a rural setting or a suburban setting or in a city, you will see the nation changing around you. So actually, the Lord has brought the nations to our doorsteps. So as we think about world mission, we're going to think about the classic view of world mission, if you like, what it means to be engaged with the work of God's mission around the world. It's a very exciting topic. Mm. But also think about how does that resonate with what's on our doorstep, which, as many church leaders will be realizing, is increasingly an issue they need to wrestle with.
That's really interesting. So when we think about world mission, I often think of a local church with a big board at the back, perhaps the kind of the wool and the string showing all the different missionaries.
The teenagers have moved the wool around, don't know where they are.
But often churches are supporting lots of missionaries, lots of organizations, that kind of thing. So there can be a temptation to think, we've done world mission.
Yeah, I think that's right, Phil. It feels like a mature topic. Mm. You know, actually, if you were to ask church leaders, list the top five topics in your church that you think you've got to wrestle with over the next few years, I doubt many people would be writing down world mission. But what we need to do is we need to recenter church so that world mission is really woven throughout the whole of church life, because that is the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. I'm just reading Acts at the moment in my quiet times, and it's pretty clear throughout the book of Acts that this is exactly the work that's been given to the local church, to the apostles, first of all, and then into the local church to spread the good news of the gospel wherever they are. And that means, of course, we should be committed to outreach and evangelism in our locality. But it also means a real love for world mission that isn't just the premise and not just the realm of someone who's very keen or even a little subcommittee, but actually is the realm of the whole church owns it. It's woven into the prayer meetings. It features in the preaching. It's in the songs that we sing. It's in our giving as a church. That's got to come from the top and actually be a feature of every leader's agenda. So what we're trying to do is we're not trying to load stuff onto leaders to do. We're trying to say, here's a really exciting topic. Here's a commission that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has both given us and empowered us to do. Let's think about how that makes a real difference to local church life.
Fantastic. I was in Acts 16 this morning in my quiet time, and you see it there. Gospel begins to go out into Europe. What I found really interesting was Timothy's mother's Jewish, father's Greek. Yep. So actually you see this kind of these different cultures beginning to come into the church, and then the church goes out to huge people groups. But then we see individuals coming to faith in Acts 16.
That's exactly right.
So we see the Philippian jailer, and we see Lydia come to faith in Acts 16. So this is what's going on, isn't it?
I think that's exactly right, Phil. And of course, reading Acts is hugely encouraging. It's realistic. There are challenges. Not everything is straightforward. Not everyone is saved. There's opposition and sometimes violent opposition. So there's a realism to Acts, but it's also really exciting to read the stories of Acts. And I think one of the things we've somehow lost when we think about world mission is not just the burden of doing it, if you like. I think most people understand that, but actually being able to be encouraged by the work of world mission, what's going on, hearing the stories, hearing how churches are engaging, hearing what churches are doing to partner with other churches, hearing how persecuted brothers and sisters keep going despite all the odds really being against them. And we need to allow our hearts to be stirred by these things, as well as feeling the burden for the lost.
And the main preaching at the conference in November, that's going to be from the Book of Acts.
Yeah, I mean, we wrestle a lot with what do we do for preaching passages. Do you just go to the standard purple passages when you're thinking about world mission? What do you do? And I've been reading through Acts, as I just said, and I've just found a real richness in coming back to the source, if you like. So I think in Acts 1, you get the commissioning for mission from the Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles. I think in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, you get the power for mission, which is the gift of the Spirit who's given to all men and women. So wonderfully encouraging passage just to see the power for mission and to be energized. No, we have the Spirit with us. And I think at the end of chapter 2, or sorry, in the Pentecost sermon in chapter 2, you get the message of mission. So much we could do, Phil, when it comes to serving the world. We've got to remember that our primary call is to call people to repentance and faith.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we don't do other stuff, but it means we've got to keep that central. So that's a really important part of our preaching. And then finally, on the last day, we're going to go out with Acts 2, 42 to 47. Mission series don't often end at the end of Acts 2. They kind of stop with 3,000 were added to their number that day. But actually, there is a call to be in a local church together, worshiping community together, praying together, learning together, serving one another. And as a fellowship of local churches, that's a great way to end our conference. So as you can see, I'm energized about that.
It's really exciting to think about Acts together. And of course, that commission at the beginning of Acts 1, you know, to Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, the ends of the earth. It's all there, isn't it? And the gospel kind of summarized in those first few verses of Acts.
That's right. And it's not over. So if a mission planting organization had not nicked the name Acts 29, we would be using it probably, because that's where we all are. We're all in Acts 29 and Acts 30 and Acts 31. And we need to see our place in God's plan. And actually, I think we also, Phil, need to learn the discipline of rejoicing with those who rejoice. We were saying this in a podcast the other day. It's quite hard to do sometimes. So, you know, perhaps you feel that you're not getting very far in mission. You know, you've been praying for revival or something like that, and, you know, just seeing one or two people converted every so often. But we need to hear about revival in Latin America. So, well, God is answering your prayers.
Just not here.
Just somewhere else. And you need to rejoice in that. We need to learn to rejoice in that.
And we're going to be doing some of that by telling stories from the stage as well. I'm really excited about hearing some of these.
And we've got so many we could tell, obviously, but we've got quite a few stories lined up. We want to showcase, if you like, some of the work that FIEC churches are doing in engaging with world mission in helpful and creative ways, whether that's through partnerships and partnerships with other churches, whether that's through doing innovative things, whether that's through really wrestling with mission at home and what it means to look on the doorstep and see what's happening just around the corner. Whether you're a larger church or a smaller church, there'll be stories from different kinds of churches. So I think hearing some of those stories and letting them kind of sink into our hearts, letting our emotions go, if you like, is a really important part of learning the stories of mission. And of course, over the years, lots of very well-known missionaries will tell you that what drew them into the work of world mission is they were at a mission meeting, an old-fashioned mission meeting, and they heard a story about this, they heard a story about that. So the telling of stories, I think, is very powerful and potent and will really encourage us.
Now, tell me, if I'm a church leader, and we've talked a bit about the mission board at the back of church and all that kind of thing, why should I, as a leader, care about leading in the area of world mission? Have I not delegated that to those who are passionate about this?
That's a great question.
How do I get engaged?
And indeed, your church, you may feel you're very mature on this. You know, you've had the same mission partners for 30 years. You know what you're doing. You know who you're supporting. You know who the real mission keenies are in church. So I think that's a great question. The answer to that, Phil, is I think mission is so central to church life that it needs to be owned by all the leaders.
That's helpful. But especially the elders.
Yeah, yeah. And now, to be owned by someone doesn't mean that you do it. You might delegate it to others. But when was world mission last on your elders' agenda, I wonder? Other than, we've got to think about how much we pay our mission partners in those sort of functional ways. I wonder, you know, when you last talked about, well, how can we get our youth group thinking about world mission? And in fact, we've got a seminar planned, how to raise mission-minded kids, which will be suitable not just for church leaders, but perhaps for youth leaders or for small group leaders or for those working with kids. So those sorts of questions, I think, need to be the ones that we're talking about and praying in. I think I'd love to see churches both sending more missionaries and receiving more missionaries. We've got a guy who works in technology coming along, Ed Unwood, who's going to help us just wrestle with this whole question of IT, because actually your next missionary that you send from your church may be an IT consultant and not a Bible teacher, because the world is changing and the way we reach the world is changing. So leaders who are not thinking about this stuff all the time, it's not that they're not doing their job. They're missing out actually on the joys of serving God's mission.
You just touched on something there, receiving missionaries back. Just expand on that a little bit for me. So we often think of reaching the world as sending missionaries. What does it mean to receive a missionary? Yes. How can we think about that?
There's still a place, by the way, for sending missionaries.
Of course.
And we need to be thinking through that.
Yeah,
although I think we do also need to be thinking carefully about what it means to send a missionary. So we're not trying to impose a particularly UK cultural form of Christianity on the rest of the world. We've got to be careful there. So we do need to wrestle with that, and we will do at the conference. But I think increasingly countries are sending missionaries to us, and people are coming to us with gifts and skills and a heart for reaching the UK. Whether that's reaching diaspora congregations or people groups, or actually just helping us reach people that are around us. And it requires humility, doesn't it, to receive help, to admit you need help, and then to receive it, which, of course, is a primary Christian virtue, but it's one that's lacking in many of us. So we want to wrestle with that. We're going to think through that carefully. What does it mean to receive a missionary? What are some of the challenges with that? How might we incorporate that in church life? We're very proud, aren't we? It's kind of a natural default position. I don't need help. Happy to give other people help, but I don't need help myself. But actually, we do need help. And people, especially from other cultures, can look into our culture, can analyze it, can deconstruct it, can work it out, and actually can show us the things that we're completely blind to.
Yeah, we have huge blind spots there, I guess, don't we? And people coming in from outside are going to see those perhaps more strongly than we ever would.
That's right.
So some of our seminars are going to be helping us to think through this. Now, I know that you've wrestled with the seminars as there's the guy who like plans the program for the Leaders Conference, and there were so many seminars we could have done.
Yes, the Leaders Conference this year will run from Monday the 10th of November to
Christmas.
Monday the 9th of November 2026. We could have 200 seminars. And we don't want to replicate good material that's already out there. So especially when it comes to example for understanding other faiths and reaching other faiths, there's lots of good material already, and we'll be careful. We're going to do some of that, but the conference won't be dominated by that. So yes, the conference itself will have a number of seminars. Some of the seminars will have add-on webinars that you can go to later if you want to. It's not obligatory. So there's kind of start the subject at the conference, follow up a little bit more. So, for example, we're doing a seminar on Roman Catholicism. Seems very apposite, seeing as there's just been a new pope elected or whatever.
More pressure on Joel to get this term
indeed,
out quickly.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And to get the imagery right, obviously. apart from Muslims, the largest faith group in the UK that I think as a whole need to hear the gospel is Roman Catholics, 5.4 million in the UK. So we do need to be thinking about how we reach Roman Catholics. So Leonardo Di Chirico from Rome is coming to help us with that.
Right.
And we're planning, there's an initial seminar and then there's a follow-on webinar. So some of these things are kind of take a first bite at the conference. And if you want more, there's a little bit more. So we're trying to be a little bit more creative about how we deliver some of these things.
And what other seminars have we got? You mentioned a couple there. What can you give us a flavour of what
else
is
there? Well, not every seminar is on message. So they're all on message.
But they're not all about mission. Yeah.
So we've planned a few things that are more general and just a pressing needs that we need to be addressing and thinking through. But a lot of the seminars are on the question of mission. We're going to do some fairly basic but fundamental things, like how do you think about planning a mission strategy for your church? What does that look like? And maybe you're a new leader in the church. You think, I've just inherited 50 missionaries. You know, the number of mission organizations just piled up year after year after year. Where do you start with that? How, what does a sensible mission strategy look like for a church? We're going to be thinking about something like that. We are going to be thinking about some theological issues. There's two in particular that we're going to wrestle with, which are a kind of perennial problems, but we need to keep thinking about what we believe about them, but also how we help others in church. So there's going to be a seminar on what about those who have never heard. And leaders who are listening might think, well, I know about that. I know what I think about that. But actually, you go and talk to the young people in your church, or you go and talk to the young adults, for example. Do you know what they think about that? Do they think you're a bit hard and cold in your approach? How are you going to help them understand this truth? So a question about what about those who have never heard? Another seminar on that very vexed question, what is the mission of the church? Touched on a little bit of that when we think about when we preach from Acts chapter 2. But there's lots that we are called to do in the world. We're called to be kind and caring and generous and all those sorts of things. But what actually is the mission of the church? And how do we hold all these competing things together? We will do some stuff on reaching particular groups. Joseph Steinberg is going to come and help us think about how we reach out with the gospel to Jewish people. Really excited about that. We're going to do some stuff on discipleship, especially helping people from other faiths or perhaps have no background. So Emmanuel Tundrea from Romania is going to come and help us with that. And lots of others besides.
And last year we did something a bit different. We ran some tracks, didn't we, for the first time?
That's right.
Are we doing something similar this
year?
Yeah.
You'll be glad to know, Philip. Yes, we are.
I did know the answer to that, but I was just setting you up for it. So just tell us a bit about the tracks that we're running.
So the seminars are all one-off.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of input, some stuff to go away and think about and reflect
maybe
on.
Maybe a follow-on, as you said.
And maybe a follow-on. Yeah. Or something to read, something else to go back to, you know, some other resource that you can link into. Then we've got three tracks, each of which has three sessions, and you sign up for the whole track. And the idea will be there you can go a little bit deeper. Over three sessions, you can explore subjects in more depth. And we've chosen three important subjects. And again, as you'll see in just a moment, they're not all related to mission, but they're just, we think, three important subjects. So the first is how we reach Muslims. Lots of us will be in places where there are Muslim people. And those Muslim people are not all alike. If you come from Bengal and you're a Muslim, you may be very different from if you come from Iran and you're a Muslim, for example. So we've got to reflect some of that. But we want to help leaders think through. And again, we mean leadership broadly. So whether you're a women's worker or you're an evangelist or you're a pastor or an elder, even if you're a youth leader or a small group leader, we want to help leaders think through what does it mean to reach Muslims. And so we're going to do that across three sessions. We're also doing a track on how to change. Just how do you manage change in church? Which is partly related to the subject. I'll explain why in just a moment. But lots of the feedback we get is the challenge we have as leaders is we don't know how to help churches change. We know we need to change, but we don't know how to manage it. So we're doing a three-session track on how to change. I think that's really important. And actually, as we adapt to the cultures around us, change can be really hard and painful, but absolutely essential. So it is still actually linked into the core theme. Then we're going to do some stuff on coaching, not so much on the core theme, but key to leadership and the place of coaching in church life. Three sessions on that as well.
Fantastic. So we've got main preaching from Acts. We've got three tracks. We've got seminars. One of the highlights for me last year was our time of prayer, and actually in 2023. So I guess we're repeating that. Just tell us what we're planning this
year. We are having a time of prayer. We're going to focus on praying for the persecuted church. So we're going to not be praying for ourselves primarily, but praying for others and seeing just how that fits into God's plan and purpose as we try and reach the world. We've got, I'm not going to say who because of sensitivities, but we are welcoming some input from the people in the persecuted world.
Who are serving them.
And by the way, we're often glib when we talk about persecution. I think, you know, it can be difficult for Christians living in this country, but we throw around the persecution word a bit too easily. When you hear some of the stories about Christians around the world and what they're up against, you realise it is extraordinary what God gives the grace to enable people to keep going. So that evening, we're planning that with Open Doors, and there's going to be some input, and it's going to really help us pray for brothers and sisters around the world, which Hebrews chapter 13, we're called to do.
Now, one of the things that a conference like this can really help churches with is how do I think about mission in my church. So we've got lots of exhibitions at stands this year, as we had last year. They'll be related to the theme. So perhaps I'm a church planter, got a brand new church, not really thought about world mission in terms of who I might support abroad. A chance to get alongside some of those who are exhibiting to think about how I might be able to support.
You may see a stand from a group you already support, in which case it's a really lovely for the mission organisation, rather than just sending you stuff through the mail, to say, oh, hello. And you say, we're with you guys. And you have a moment of prayer there. You just chat. Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely little moments like that. So that it's not just about, oh, I'm looking for a mission organization to support. Who can I support? There may be some of that, but a lot of it is just connecting. And actually, I would encourage people who are coming along to the conference, just stop at every stand and say, tell me what's encouraging. Tell me what's challenging. It needs to be a realism about this as well, and to hear some of those stories from around the world. So yeah, some strong exhibition stands.
And that moves us nicely into kind of how we use the venue. So we're at the Winter Gardens again in Blackpool, where we've been since 2022. This will be our fourth year this time at the Winter Gardens. And that's one of the ways we use the venue is to kind of have exhibition stands throughout. And then we're going to be putting them alongside the bookstall this year, I think.
That's right, yeah. So yeah. Bookstall as before, with all the books and some particularly good titles on mission, some exciting new titles coming out on mission that I think are really important that we've been reading and getting ready for. So I think the bookstall is always an important element, as indeed is the eating together. So one of the reasons we're at Winter Gardens and not just at a big church building somewhere is because we think it's really important to sit down and eat together. And so we're looking forward to that. Last year and the year before, we sang.
We did.
Do you remember what we sang?
In the Empress Ballroom.
Last year?
Oh, no, I don't. That's very bad, isn't it?
It's first year we sung Here Is Love.
Yeah, which was Trevor Archer's choice, wasn't it?
Was,
which
was excellent. Who had just retired from FIC staff. Yeah. Last year we sang, ready? Behold Our God.
Oh, we did. It was
Producer
so good.
Joel knew that.
Well done, brother. Sorry.
We will find something suitable to sing this year. It's just a beautiful moment, actually, to raise the roof.
It's because the acoustics in the Empress
Ballroom.
Yeah,
well, the week
so
before
good.
We're there, the Pigeon Fanciers Association are in. And we think we need to set a better example than lots of cooing pigeons by actually singing the praises of God in that amazing room.
They will clean it, I'm sure, before we all eat in there.
Might be one or two flying around the rafters.
Very good. But the venue is really good for that, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
it is.
We take the place over. If you've not been before, 1,000 leaders milling about in the Winter Gardens. There's kind of hubbub, all that's going on.
Yeah, and just all the things that go with that. You know, a chance to raise our voices in praise together. Mm. You know, when you've got 1,000, 1,100 people singing the praises of God, it's wonderful, isn't it? And I mean, there can be a little feeling of, oh, I wish every Sunday was like this. But actually, we need to be able to say, no, this is great. This is our foretaste of heaven. Mm. Every Sunday is a foretaste of heaven. This is kind of foretaste of heaven on, I don't know what, on speed, I was going to say, but that's an illegal drug. I don't think we can mention that, can we? But you know, this is just an extra moment. And then, one day heaven will arrive and we will be with every tribe, nation and tongue. Mm. And so we are doing a little bit of reflecting heaven, aren't we?
We are, yeah. So the post-conference event, we're going to do a separate podcast on this with a couple of members of our intercultural team. But we're going to have an event called Reflecting Heaven, which will be the kind of 24 hours at the end of the conference. Yep. That will take place at Blackpool Tabernacle in the same way we did something similar with Brian Croft last year. But the whole idea of Reflecting Heaven is, what does it mean to build an intercultural church where you are now? How do we reflect Revelation 7:9, when every tribe, tongue and nation will be worshipping the Lord Jesus? What does that look like now? How do we think about that now? And how do we reflect that wonderful future reality that Revelation
speaks of? And it's worth mentioning now, because although we'll give you some more detail on it, when you book your accommodation, if you're thinking about that as a church, you want to work that through as a church, you might like to book that extra night so you can stay on the 24 hours. It's a very low cost add-on part of the conference, and hopefully be really encouraging.
Yeah, Tim McMahon from Serving in Mission is going to be kind of hosting that for us, and the intercultural team will be playing into that. But we're hoping to do a podcast with Tim and Justin Gill, our intercultural advisor, in the coming weeks. So do look out for that. Just in terms of coming to Blackpool, have you got any creative ideas for how churches and leaders can work together to perhaps support one another, pulpit swapping perhaps, to make sure that people can come and feel like they can just let go of things for a week and that kind of stuff? So it's quite a big undertaking to be away from Monday through to Wednesday evening, or Thursday if you stay for the add-on event. Has a knock-on effect perhaps for church on a Sunday. Any creative ideas for folk there?
I mean, the reason we've started it on a Monday is we hope most people can come on a Monday, so you won't be away for any of the Sundays. That's quite important to us. Mm. We believe in the local church. Yeah, I mean, I would try and think about it positively. You know, here's an opportunity for someone else to preach in church. Here's an opportunity actually to connect with a mission partner. So here's an idea, Phil. What about a mission partner that you support as a church, inviting them to the conference with you? Mm. I was speaking to a church leader the other day who was telling me that the mission partners they've sent, the missionaries they've sent who used to be members of their church, they've kept on as members of their church.
Oh, wow.
They don't stop being members of their church.
Okay.
They care for them. They pray for them. They don't just support them financially, but they see them as part of the church family. So that's a lovely idea, isn't it? What about inviting a mission partner over to the conference? You could come with them. Mm. Maybe your church could fund them if it's in a position to be able to do so. You could spend 48 hours with them as well as with your other leaders. Could be really exciting. Mm. You come back to church the following Sunday or the previous Sunday maybe, and they preach for you. Mm. And you tell them some of the other stories you've heard. So I think there's some creative things that leaders could do to really make world mission not just something that you engage with, but your whole church engages with.
And just in terms of the way that we prepare for the conference and think about the conference, just tell me a bit about how church leaders can come along, even like notwithstanding the topic. And what I mean by that is not everybody comes just because of the topic, good though world mission is. People come for all that kind of value-added stuff, the eating together that you've mentioned. There's a chance to do some of that, which you don't always get to do outside.
Yeah, I mean, the conference is not just for content. Mm. It's for meeting God and it's for meeting others. And there's great help in both renewing existing friendships and developing new ones. Now, we're not overly ambitious. You know, in 48 hours, you're not going to be best mates with someone you've never met before at the end of it. But actually, each little conference takes us along a little bit in developing relationships. It's extraordinary the stories we hear, Phil, of people who say, well, I was just sitting at the dinner table next to so-and-so, I didn't know them. We got talking and we realized we had a shared interest in this. One of the things we pray for and we have found is there are these divine appointments.
Yeah, absolutely.
That people come along and they just happen to be in the queue next to someone who's facing the same issue as them or has been through it and has come out the other side and is able to, you know, speak a word of encouragement. And actually just wandering around the conference and seeing people just praying as they're standing in a queue or as they're sitting at a table is hugely heartening. So I would say come for your own soul and come to bless others.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think someone once said to me, I don't come to the conference if I'm not interested in the topic. I said, well, brother, you know, you've got something to give to someone else. Mm. Sister, you've got something to give to someone else. So I think the great thing about a leaders' conference for a fellowship like ours is it's not just a chance to be blessed, it's a chance to bless.
It's interesting you say that. So I heard the opposite last week. Somebody saying, I've booked my leaders' conference ticket, didn't even look at the topic because they want to be there to gather with others and to be that encourager.
All those sleepless nights I spent working on the title.
But that's the case for everyone, brother. But yeah, this particular person. So let's talk a bit about who's going to be speaking from Acts. So I deliberately didn't start there because it's not about the names of people. But who's going to be doing the main preaching for us?
So we're really excited that Julian Hardiman, who used to be on the Trust Board, used to be the pastor of Eden, senior pastor of Eden Baptist Church. He and his wife Debbie have gone out to Madagascar to work on a project actually that was started by someone from an FIEC church and has had involvement from lots of different FIEC churches. It's an extraordinary story and we will tell it. And so Julian Hardiman is going to come and preach to us. He's going to come and also give us some of that story about the Good News Hospital in Mandrasara.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to hear how that was started by Trinity Road Tooting, an FIEC church. And the current leader of it is from ex-elder
don't,
from
don't
Beast
Don't tell
and
the
Free
whole
church.
Story.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. Then Matt Waldock. Hmm. From City Church Manchester and Alan McKnight, both churches that kind of wrestle with what it means to be intercultural church and how to serve their locality and have experience of working in and indeed from other cultures are going to speak to us. And then Graham Bynan is sending us out right at the end. We've also got a one-off, which is John Stevens is doing some of you will have seen Understanding Our Times, which is a book about the UK.
Knowing Our Times.
Yeah. So, we've done that assessment of just understanding the UK and understanding evangelicalism. John is working at the moment, he's beginning work now, helping us just understand the world setting. What does it really mean? So, for example, like we heard a fantastic statistic just the other day that 20 years ago, there used to be countries where we didn't know of any Christians in the country. And you and I were at something where we heard that's no longer the case. There's no country in the world where, I mean, praise sometimes tiny numbers, but there's no country now in the world where there are no Christians. So actually, the God is moving in tremendous ways, and we need to hear about that and let our hearts be encouraged by it.
Fantastic. Now, so the conference costs £245 per person. That gives you the whole conference plus your lunches and evening meals, tea and coffee in the breaks, £245 if you book before the 7th of July. It increases to £265 after July the 7th.
What if that's a stretch for you, Phil?
Well, once again, we've got our bursary fund running. So if you are struggling to finance the conference, do be in touch with us. There's a bursary fund there to help those from tougher parts of the country to come and join us at the conference. We want a broad spectrum of leaders from all over the country. Yeah. So do reach out.
And some of that bursary fund last year, or this year, sorry, it was funded last year by people giving a little extra on top of their ticket,
so
where
when,
they were able to do so.
So it's when you book your ticket, you'll have the option to perhaps donate a bit to the bursary fund, which will help others come from other communities in Britain. So would encourage you to do that. So £245 before the 7th of July, £265 after the 7th of July. And the conference dates are 10th to the 12th of November, with Reflecting Heaven, the post-commerce events, 12th to the 13th of November.
Blackpool, Lancashire.
Yes, that's right. We do like to be beside the seaside. Adrian, thanks for telling us about
this
year's Leaders Conference. It's been great to chat about this. Really excited to hear from the Book of Acts, and I don't know which seminars I will choose or be assigned, I should say, as a member of FIEC staff, but really excited to gather in November. So do pray for us and do book your tickets.
See you there.
We look forward to seeing you in Blackpool. Hope you found this helpful. If you have, do rate, leave a review so others can find it. And we look forward to seeing you in November if you're able to make it. God bless.